what I don't believe in is sort of constantly looking over my shoulder to watch what everyone around me is doing, because I'll lose focus and lose sight of what I'm doing in that case. So I think that's what I mean by, you know, I've always believed that it's very important to focus on what you are doing and get that right. And whatever else keeps happening around you, it's a sort of, you know, it's a dynamic environment and you have no control over that. But what you do have control over is what you're doing, you know, right. And ensuring that you don't, you know, drop quality, you're, you know, ensuring consistency, both in the product as well as the experience, and constantly sort of, you know, evolving, enhancing and improving yourself, and not using others as a benchmark, but using yourself as the benchmark.
You are listening to the Payal Nanjiani Leadership Podcast, the number one podcast in the world for leaders who want to be the best. Each episode is designed to help you recognize and overcome your leadership challenges and achieve great success at your work. This episode is brought to you by your host, Payal Nanjiani, a world-renowned leadership expert, executive coach, and author known for her leadership talks, corporate training, and executive coaching. To know more about Payal, visit her website, www.payalnanjiani.com.
Welcome back to the Payal Nanjiani Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Payal Nanjiani. Well, success is a journey and not a destination. In fact, it is often said that success occurs when preparation meets opportunity. Now, opportunities will undoubtedly present themselves with time, but how are you treating yourself through all of the time spent in preparation for accomplishing your goals in the meantime? To talk to us about this, we have with us in our studio none other than Gauri Devi Dayal, the partner of Food Matters Group. Gauri was listed in Forbes India 120 Leaders of Change, GQ's list of the 50 most influential young Indians, Black Book's top 50 women in Indian luxury, and is on the managing committee of the National Restaurant Association of India. Gauri is also on the Indian Advisory Board for Gleam Network, a global mentoring program for the food and beverage industry. And she joins us here today to talk to us about the topic leadership at the table. Gauri, welcome to the Payal Nanjiani Leadership Podcast. It is such an honor to have you here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I have read about you, and I know this is not from where you started off. Okay. I read about your journey into accounts, taxation, and 12 years now in the restaurant industry. So from taxation to food, that's quite a jump now. So tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your passion and in getting into the restaurant business. Why did you choose to become what you are?
Well, isn't tax to a restaurant completely normal? you know, I have had a rather unconventional career trajectory, and I started out reading law at university in the UK and thinking that I would be a lawyer. That mm-hmm. didn't quite turn out that way either. And I ended up in the accounting profession. So mm-hmm. I joined PricewaterhouseCoopers after graduating from law school, and focused on tax law. So I became a chartered accountant. I did my chartered accountant qualification in England. And after working for about 4 years in London, I moved back to Mumbai, mm-hmm. which is where I'm from and where I grew up, and continued working as an accountant with PwC and for a short while with KPMG as well. And when I moved back to India, that's also the time I met Jay, my husband, who had this crazy, crazy idea of wanting to open a restaurant. So let me just tell you that he has no background in hospitality either. He was a techie from San Francisco who just sold his company. And he was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I've always wanted to open a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is just another midlife crisis that will soon pass. And but you know, I was like, okay, let him do his thing, and I was sort of focused on my career. But you know, as he sort of became more and more serious about doing this, I was like, okay, let him not completely you know, mess things up. And I was just helping out with legal and financial aspects of you know, setting up a company and, you know, legal agreements with properties, etc. And you know, I kind of was eavesdropping on all the restaurant planning and conversations that were happening, and found myself getting more and more intrigued and interested and involved, and decided at one point that, you know, I will take a year off from my world of accounting and dabble in the hospitality business for a while and see how it goes. And like you said, 12 years later, yeah, it's been one long sabbatical.
Wow. So what are your restaurants? Is it one restaurant in Mumbai? Is it a chain of restaurants? What is it like?
So the one that we did this crazy jump for is called The Table. That was our first restaurant that we opened back in 2011. So it's in its 12th year now. And it's a globally inspired menu. So it's very, it's actually inspired by California and San Francisco, where my husband used to live, where, you know, everything's ingredient driven and kind of cuisine agnostic. So that's sort of what we do at The Table. And it was very new for its time back in 2011.
Okay.
But subsequently, we have opened, we have one more cafe in Mumbai called Mag Street Cafe, which is a little more casual. We have four delivery brands. One is a bakery, and the other three are Indian, Asian, and pizza. And finally, we have a very, again, another crazy project of ours, a sort of what we call a culinary playground, which is essentially, it's an experimental kitchen where we host chefs from all over the world to come and do pop-ups, and we do a lot of cooking workshops. So it's a more hands-on kind of, you know, kitchen space where, which also has a dining room. So, you know, people get to experience dining in a very different way from a restaurant.
Wow. So I'm definitely your next guest, Corey, there. I mean, you just made it sound so wonderful, you know, that someone would just want to come there immediately. So I'm definitely your next guest.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. And but you know, in the past two and a half years, the restaurant business has been quite hit because of the pandemic. And like you said, you know, you were not from this industry, and then you came into it, you started to build it up. So how does it feel like you built it up and then the restaurant industry got hit real, real bad during the COVID time? So what were some of your challenges like?
I mean, it feels like a very surreal part of our, you know, the restaurant, the life of the restaurant. Honestly, now when I look back at it, I kind of can't believe we went through that and came out at the other side. You know, look, it wasn't just us. It was firstly the entire F&B industry, you know, hotels, everyone really suffered through this time, and of course other industries as well. But I think, you know, with restaurants, we were the first to kind of be hit and the last to stand up again. You know, we were closed for, out of those two and a half years, we were closed for, like, properly closed for 1 year, you know, in different buckets. And you know, it was not, it's something that I don't think obviously anyone was prepared for, but I think it just brought out the sort of, you know, the resilience in everyone to kind of get through this somehow. And that's all I can kind of attribute this to. You know, we managed to retain all our staff, and that's also when we gave birth to a lot of these delivery brands that I mentioned earlier. And I don't know how we kind of got through it, but we did. And we did come out on the other side. We struggled a lot. There were a lot of things that didn't, you know, didn't see the light of day because of this pandemic that we had spent a lot of time and energy and investment on. But I think overall, you know, it was something that, just makes us feel that, you know, if we got through that, we can kind of do anything.
But what took me, by amazement, Corey, is the fact that even during these challenging times, you've also done philanthropic activities during the pandemic to actually help the needy. How did that come about? I mean, here you are trying to survive yourself. Restaurants are not working. You're paying your staff. And then you're also engaging in this. So how did that happen?
It was, as you may know, at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a major sort of migrant crisis, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people suddenly were out of work, and you know, there was no transport back to hometowns, etc. So, people were really struggling. There are so many people who work on, you know, who are day laborers, who work on a daily wage, and that suddenly, you know, that tap was closed. Mm-hmm. It was a disaster. And of course, you know, a lot of people who, live in slums, etc., who rely a lot on, philanthropic donations and charity, that kind of dried up very quickly when the lockdown kicked off. So there was a lot of need for just bare necessities of things like food, right? So we were in a unique position that our industry had kitchens. Not everyone has that, right? So we were in a position where we have kitchens, and yes, we were doing some level of delivery, but to a large extent, you know, our kitchens were not operating to full capacity, and it was just a no-brainer for us, honestly, to, you know, put it to good use and help people out. So the NRAI launched a program called Feed the Needy. The NRAI is the National Restaurant Association of India. And basically whoever had sort of staff around who were able to procure ingredients, etc., were just creating simple, meals to distribute to people who needed them. And, you know, the demand was crazy. We had NGOs reaching out to us left, right, and center, but obviously, you know, we had limitations on how much we could produce every day. But the number of meals that were produced across, you know, pan India in as part of this endeavor was astronomical. And we just did our small bit to contribute to that.
Wow. But even now, when things are back to, you know, quite back to normal, if not full, and restaurants have opened up, you are a person who doesn't believe much in competition. And that's very unique, you know. So tell us a little bit more about it. Like, why would you say that I don't believe in competition? So what's the other side of it?
I'll give some context to that. I think that when I say it's not that I don't believe in competition. I think competition is very important to keep you on your toes, to keep you, to not let you slack and take your consumer or your guest for granted. But having said that, what I don't believe in is sort of constantly looking over my shoulder to watch what everyone around me is doing, because I'll lose focus and lose sight of what I'm doing in that case. So I think that's what I mean by, you know, I've always believed that it's very important to focus on what you are doing and get that right. And whatever else keeps happening around you, it's a sort of, you know, it's a dynamic environment and you have no control over that. But what you do have control over is what you're doing, you know, and ensuring that you don't, you know, drop quality, you're ensuring consistency, both in the product as well as the experience, and constantly sort of, evolving, enhancing and improving yourself, and not using others as a benchmark, but using yourself as the benchmark.
So, but I'm sure you have faced this, that, you know, even though you might not be, you know, looking around for competition or keep looking what's happening to the left and right, but you're staying focused. Do you find others trying to imitate you or imitate your ideas, your services? Because a lot of this happens in the real world, whether you're in the corporate or whether you are in the business. So people, you know, tend to feel, if I have this idea, it would be taken away from someone. So we try to hold on. We try to look left and right what's happening. So, you know, what would you tell people that when it comes to competition, what should they do so that they can also move ahead very focused in their life?
So I think firstly, you know, I don't think of it as imitation. I think of it as inspiration. And I do believe that, you know, it's never, at least in our industry, it's not as simple as, you know, oh, I'll just hire someone from your team, or I'll just get that recipe off you and I'll do exactly the same thing. And, you know, I think I have to admit that when we first started in this business and we saw, you know, inspired dishes coming up on other restaurant menus, it did bother me. You know, it felt like, you know, why can't you do your own thing? But I sort of, you know, with time and with maturity, I realized that, you know, no one, if you are doing it well, nobody, you know, firstly, people who identify that with you will always know that, you know, you sort of created that. And for some reason, I feel like it's not something that will ever be, you know, at the level that you've done it. So it'll always, there's always something missing, because it's not just about a product, right? I mean, when you come to dine at a restaurant, it's not just about the food you eat. It's the entire experience. Some of it is very intangible, and, you know, you may experience it very subconsciously, but there's a whole lot of moving parts that's going into creating that experience. And of course, the food and beverage is a very integral part to that, but there's so much more. So again, you know, I think that you have to keep innovating, and you have to keep evolving yourself, and you know, let whatever is happening around you happen.
So along
and you have to believe in yourself and believe in what you're doing, right? I think and I think that's where innovation is so important, because if you continue to evolve, then you're not really worried about what, you know, previous thing you were doing that someone else is doing. You know, they'll always just be playing catch up. They're not sort of in a place where then they're really creative.
No, and that is true, because in the industry, in not just in your industry, but in every industry, innovation is such a big part. And actually, that makes me very curious to ask you something, Gauri. Do you cook? Like, do you cook in your own restaurant?
Absolutely not. And I think if I did, it would be the end of it. The end of our business. You know, it's funny, I and people are always amazed when I say this, I have no desire, no ability, and no inclination to cooking. And I think it's because I was never great at it. And so, you know, now having been sort of thrown into that world, I'm like, there's so many people who do it better than me, let them do it. You know, why should I, you know, eat something mediocre when someone around me can do it far better? So I leave the professionals to do their thing. And
because you know, there's a certain belief that, okay, you know, if you own a restaurant, you might also be knowing how to cook.
No, I know how to eat, and I know how to eat well, and I love good food. And I think, you know, over the years, I've sort of developed a more and more discerning palate. And I just think that, you know, that's what's kept us going all this time, is that we know how to serve the good stuff.
So when you say good food, what does good food look like?
You know, it's very much a product of the ingredients you're getting. I think, you know, having quality ingredients is half the sort of success of delivering something that tastes good. And keeping it simple, I think that's what I'm going to say. You know, just keeping it simple, not overcomplicating the dish is what has worked for us.
So apart from all of this that you've shared, Gauri, what would be some of your leadership lessons that you have learned in these 12 years?
Wow.
Not just in the PwC, not just in this restaurant, sorry, but in the entire career life, just what are some of the leadership lessons that you have learned that has helped you and could help anyone who's listening?
So I think one of them is actually was something that came to me during this, during the pandemic, during the lockdown. You know, we were thrown into a situation we could never have sort of prepared for. But you know, we really followed our intuition on that. And one of the things that held us in good stead was an open line of communication, of honest communication with our team, right? Because there were many times when we didn't really know what was happening. We didn't have all the answers, but just being open and honest with them throughout the process, I think, was very important to, you know, maintain our sort of relationship, maintain that trust, and that belief that we were doing the best we could. You know, so that was something that I learned. And I guess that I sort of, it's kind of an extension of that open door policy, right? That everyone always talks about in the erstwhile offices that we all used to go to.
Yes, absolutely. But, I don't know how much that works now though, but.
Exactly. So, you know, it's that I think is very key. And, you know, the other thing is, I learned everything I know about this business on the job. And I feel that that is something that I want for the rest of my team as well, for them to learn on the job. And, you know, if that involves making mistakes, you know, letting them do that, because that's the only way I will be able to, you know, develop a team that will eventually sort of take over what I do and allow me to kind of evolve and do other things as well. So I would say these are two things that, you know, come to mind straight away.
So what is it like for you to lead the table now?
I don't know. I you know, it's something that I just see us sort of sustaining, but also growing our team, you know, building a whole sort of, you know, line of managers, of leaders underneath us so that we can continue to create more brands, scale them. And at the same time, never get complacent about, you know, what we've done so far, and continue to strive and strive for excellence. And, you know, I mean, I want to give you an example. We, like I said, we're in our 12th year at the table.
Yeah.
We recently, about 3 months ago, you know, made it to Asia's 50 best restaurants, which is kind of,
congratulations.
Thank you. It's something that, you know, every restaurateur, it's a list that, you know, every restaurant aspires to be on, you know, in the continent or on the world's top 50 list. And it's something that came, you know, yes, it came 12 years into operations, but it was a real validation of the fact that, you know, you have to just keep consistently doing what you do, and, you know, good things will happen when they happen.
True. That is so right. And, you know, like you said, so you're consistently just delivering the best. That's the reason you're getting to where you are. But what, you know, even today after 12 years, Gauri, what drives you to wake up in the morning and still give your best?
I absolutely love what I do. There are days when I curse it and the days when I'm ready to walk away from it. But those are, you know, fewer than the days when I don't. And I genuinely enjoy the F&B business and hospitality, and then I have to say that, you know, there are as we've grown as a company and, you know, built a team, it has allowed me to do you know, a few things which are sort of ancillary to this. So for example, I have two podcasts which you know, I do parallelly to work, and I think having multiple interests, multiple things happening is what keeps me excited about waking up every day.
Wow. So, you know, from a space of numbers, you've gone to the space of spices and ingredients. Huh? So I think that's been quite a journey with what you said. So Gauri, with time, you know, being limited on this podcast, what would be your advice to the leaders who want to move ahead in their field of work?
I would say that focus on building a team that can, you know, continue and grow your vision for your business.
True. I think you just nailed it. Team is so important. I think whatever we are today is because of the people who are behind us.
Absolutely.
Wow. So that's great. So thank you so much, Gauri, for being on this podcast and for sharing your insights and your experience, your challenges, your, you know, your success, your failures. I think you've just been so transparent in almost all of them. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And this is for our listeners. This is Gauri Devidayal and Payal Nanjiani signing off, wishing you loads of success.